You probably know this. Pastor Ed is my brother, and we walk in unity, even though we may have a difference of opinion. So you can have a difference of opinion. You can have another point of view, and it doesn't have to cause disharmony. It doesn't have to cause you to walk out of unity. Of course, you may see things differently, but you can sit down. We sit down and we have conversations and we talk it through because we're brothers. And more importantly, we're brothers in Christ and we have to stay in unity.
And I think, you know, let's just share so that they get a little background from this, since, you know, you bring it to that in that perspective. There are times that we have a different point of view or a different perspective, but overall, we usually, in most cases, almost always land on the same spot. We do. So even though we may have a different perspective on something, we always land on the same thing.
Almost always.
Very rare that we say, no, I don't see it that way.
And then when those times come, we'll leave it.
Yeah, we leave it alone.
And go back to it.
And we go back
to it. But the end result is we're on the same landing place.
Yeah. True enough.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to read, as we do, we've been starting these lessons. And let's read from the Message translation. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 through 17. From the Message translation. And it says, "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society." Verse 16, "Exercise your freedom by serving God, not breaking the rules." And verse 17, "Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government." So you can see here, God has put authorities in place to keep order. That's what he says here. He's talking about respect the authorities, whatever their level. They're God's emissaries for doing what? Keeping order. So if something gets out of order, God has a system. There's things in place as we pray, and we're praying for those who are in authority, those corrections can be made. So here, what we've been sharing is that our perspectives must ultimately be viewed from God's perspectives, his thoughts, his ways, his word. And so as we look, you know, we're familiar with Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So his ways are not our ways, thank God. But as we get our minds renewed on the word of God, we begin, as the scripture says, we have the mind of Christ. So we can begin, yes, our spirits have been made brand new. We're new creatures in Christ, but some of us, as we all know, our thinking was a little off. So we needed to have our minds washed and renewed by the power of God, his word, so we can begin to see things a little differently and how we approach things. So even the scripture, when it says the thief cometh, not but for to what? To steal, to kill, and to what? And to destroy. I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So God endeavors that we have and live an abundant life, and anything, and this is what we were pointing out in Sunday, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing what? Healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. So anything that oppresses, whether it's in life, whether it's in any kind of thing that we face in life, if it oppresses, it's not from God. Because he went about healing all who were what? Oppressed of the devil. So God wants us to live a life of abundance and freedom. And so in 1 John 2, and this is kind of where we wanted to pick up tonight, 1 John 2 and verse 6 in the King James, it says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. How did Jesus walk? He walked in love, and he also walked in faith. And so, which is what we're to do. But John 13, 34, and verses 34 and 35. In the Passion Translation, I want to read this, which we normally read it from the King James, but the Passion Translation, I just like the way this reads. It says, so I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. So when we walk in love, we will walk in unity.
You know, you got to think about what we just read. So I give you now, I give you when? I give you now a new commandment. Right. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is because when there's an opportunity for strife, when is that opportunity? Now.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Now. And we have to change our thinking, reprogram ourselves, so when that now moment comes, we remember I'm supposed to love the same way Jesus loved me right now.
Right.
God thought so much about that when he gave the motto for this church, and as I spoke on Sunday, a motto is just an expression of a general truth, or it's a guiding principle. It's a phrase that expresses the spirit or purpose of a person, organization, or city, or et cetera. And on the way back, on driving back from Rhema Bible Training Center, Pastor Sarah got the motto. They had already gotten the name Redeeming Love Christian Center, but that name has to mean something. That name needs to bring your thinking to a place. And God said that Redeeming Love Christian Center was to be a place where the love of God is evident. First and foremost, we need to realize when we're encountering other people, for whatever the reason, the love of God should be evident in us before they hear any word we speak. They should see that we love them. The word of God is taught. We're always speaking from the standpoint of what the word says. The Spirit of God is directing. So we'll always be in the right place at the right time because the Spirit of God is directing and the power of God is manifested. And it's important that we look at it in that order, because when people see the love, they'll receive the teaching, they'll receive the direction, they'll receive all of those things because they see the love. It's evident. It's evident in you. And the other thing that we were thinking about, and it may seem a little hard, and we're not trying to be hard. We're just trying to get to the place where we come get the same understanding. We've all mourned. We've spent time mourning, and we've been crying. We've expressed anger. We've expressed outrage. I mean, some dreams were destroyed. Some friendships parted. Lives have been disrupted. Even churches have distanced themselves from people they used to call friend or brother. And the question is, where do we go from here? What do we need to do next? Well, God wants to bless everybody. He wants to bless all people. But there's something that has to happen so that God can bless us. And we can find that in Psalm 133. I'm going to share it out of the Amplified Classic. It reads, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment poured on the head that ran down the beard, even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest, that came down upon the collar and skirts of his garments, consecrating the whole body. It's like the dew of lofty Mount Hermon and the dew that comes off the hills of Zion. For there, at that point of unity, the Lord has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore, and he did it upon the high and upon the lowly." So God needs our agreement so that he can pour out the blessing, life. And he wants to pour the blessing out on everybody.
Let's read this in the Passion and then pick up again. But it says, in the Passion translation of Psalm 133, those three verses, it says, "How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity." Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. It says, "How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony," I like this, "this heavenly harmony," see, it can't be natural harmony. This has got to be heavenly inspired harmony, "can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life evermore," or the promise of life forever.
Yeah. Just like I liked verse 3 in the Amplified, because I like the part where it ends. It says, "even life forevermore upon the high and the lowly." And as I said, he wants everybody to be blessed. And it doesn't matter whether you have high position or low position. All that matters is that we are in you walking in unity. Mm-hmm. When God wanted to send his Holy Spirit, it required unity. Why don't you go over to Acts 2? And I'm going to read the first four verses in the King James Version. It reads, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place." They were all in one accord. They were all in unity in one place. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So God wanted them to receive that gift. There are things God wants us to receive. There are gifts he wants us to receive. But we have to be at that place of unity, right, so we all get them. If we're not in that place of unity, some may get them. But I think it was important. It says they were all filled. Why? Because they were all in unity, and they were all in one accord, and they were all in one place.
Well, let's look at, we're going to kind of transition here and kind of pick up on continuing on unity and in love. But Ephesians chapter 4 in the Passion Translation, wanted to take a look at a number of these verses here, but starting in verse 1, really wanted to look at the Passion Translation kind of hits home. And it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank, given to you in your divine calling. Now look at verses 2. This verse here really strikes home here. It says, with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another. Now look at this, especially to those who may try your patience. Who are the ones that are trying your patience? What are we supposed to do? It says, demonstrate gentleness and generous love towards one another, especially to those who may try your patience. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace, being what? One body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. And then it continues in verse 5. It says, for the Lord God is what? One, and so are we. For we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. And he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. And he has generously given to each one of us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. This is why he says he ascends into the heavenly heights, taking his many captured ones with him, and gifts were given to men. He ascended means that he returned to heaven after he had first descended from the heights of heaven, even descending as far as the lowest parts of the earth. The same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the what? The restoration and fulfillment of all things. And he has appointed some, I like this, with the grace to be apostles, and some with the grace to be prophets, and some with the grace to be evangelists, and some with the grace to be pastors, and some with the grace to be teachers. And their calling is to do what? To nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will do what? Enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed in the abundance of Christ. And then our what? Our immaturity will end, and we will not be easily shaken by trouble, nor led astray by novel teachings, or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into him, the anointed head of his body, the church. Verse 16, for his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And all these gifts operate effectively how? Through the whole body we are built up and made perfect in love.
And since we're made perfect in love, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to love one another.
Right.
Because we've been made perfect in love. In Colossians 3:12, again, in the Passion Translation, we may be in the Passion Translation a lot tonight, folks.
Well, let's just stop a moment and just, when it talks about at the beginning of this chapter, and just as we're transitioning to Colossians 3, you know, some may have this thought, well, but Everybody's not operating in love. Everybody's acting a certain way. People are doing things. You know, I'm talking about in the context of what we were sharing on Sunday. Things that are happening in the natural realm. Things that are not right. In other words, Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24, that before his coming, the signs of the time, there would be nation against nation, ethnos against ethnos is actually that word, or you could say race against race. So, you know, we need to understand that these things are going to happen and not to take us by surprise. Why? Because Adam fell, and when this earth was given to Adam to do what? To manage and to run, he lost that. And who's the god of this world? 2 Corinthians 4:4, it's the devil. It's Satan and his followers. So what are they doing? They're influencing people to do bad things. But Jesus said here, he's given us, what did he also say in Matthew 24? As we see this time approach, the love of many is going to wax cold. And so we need to make sure that we're operating in unity and in love. And when we do, this love, you know, Pastor Clinton always used to say it, I've heard others say, love is not a doormat. Love is God. God is love. So the power of God is in the love of God. And so when we operate in the love of God, the power of God is released in that situation. Love, what does it say in the scriptures? Love overcomes evil. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to walk in love. I'm going to act out this particular way because somebody's acting a certain way. Love is not a doormat, but when we operate in the love of God, it releases what? The power of God into that situation. And that is what will change a situation. And so here, when it says we're to do what? With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. What does that mean? That means you're going to have opportunities to walk in the love of God, and it's not going to feel good. You know, I mean, it's not going to feel good. And you're going to want, as Pastor Greg likes to say, you're going to want your pound of flesh. But God is saying in those situations, we need to do what? Exercise. And I think that's a good place to switch over, because we need to do what? Exercise the love of God. And then Colossians 3:12, this is how we're supposed to love one another. Right.
But first you have to remember that you are always dearly loved by God. Right. Always. So no matter what happens, no matter what people may say to you or treat you, you need to know that if nobody else loves you, you're loved by God. And that should be enough. And because we're loved by God, the instructions are, so robe yourself with virtues of God, since you've been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Right. Unoffendable. You can't be offended because someone else hasn't worked it out yet. You're there so you can help them work it out. Oh, now mind you, this, Pastor Ed and I didn't write this. This is the Bible, verse 13. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith.
Right.
Tolerate the weaknesses of your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. Now, that was talking about the family of faith. Listen to this part. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them.
Right.
That's talking about non-believers, folks. If you find fault with them, you release the same gift of faith that's been released to you, we have to release to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. You know, it says, if you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. That's talking about regular people, as I said before. So if you want to send a red face now, go ahead, but just stay locked in.
Yeah, and actually, when we think about this, when it says when we find fault with someone,
mm-hmm.
That's anyone.
Anyone.
That means all. That means someone in the family of faith and someone who's not.
Who's not.
It says release this same gift of forgiveness to them.
That's right.
In the King James, you know, when it talks about us to be robed, like here in the Passion, mm-hmm. it's talking about us to be robed. It says robe yourself with the virtues of God. In the King James, it's saying here, that we're to put on, this is in verse 10, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. But also backing up in that chapter, it says, mortify therefore your members, deaden, right? Which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and it goes on. So it's really talking about putting off the old man,
right,
and putting on the new man. What's the new man supposed to be putting on? Love, mm-hmm. gentleness, kindness. This is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yep. We need to understand that if I wanted to change clothes, I'd have to get out of these first. There's something I'd have to put these off so I could put on something else.
Can't wear both at the same time.
You look funny trying to wear both at the same time.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to find fault with someone. This is what I was talking about. I said, if you need to send a red face to vent, okay. But if you find fault with the president, you forgive him. You don't call him out of his name. What do I mean by that? You don't call him a number, you call him by his name. It's President Donald Trump. I don't agree with him, so he's 45. No, he's President Donald Trump. Because I'm giving him the same forgiveness that God has given me. If you find fault with governing authorities, you forgive them. If you find fault with the police, you forgive them.
But let's put this in context.
Yeah.
So that people don't misunderstand what we're saying. We are to operate in forgiveness. It does not mean that you turn a blind eye.
Right.
To things that are being done wrong. Just so everybody makes sure that they understand, we're not saying that where there's things that are wrong, you don't confront it, because we're to be against evil. Things that are being motivated, remember we're saying, Satan is the god of this world. He will operate through any of us if we let him.
Yeah.
He'd operate through anyone that will let him. And God is looking to do what? Operate through his body.
Yes.
And so that's why he says, put off the old man, put on the new man. So here, when it says, you know, forgive, it doesn't mean, as I said, it doesn't mean ignore things that are being done that are unjust. We're to be against injustice.
See, when you're operating, and the reason I say that so strongly, is when you're operating in forgiveness, you'll do the right thing in every situation. There's even a right way to do the wrong thing. But what happens is if we get over into unforgiveness, we are not going to operate in love at all. We're not going to be the proper representatives of Christ. We're not going to be acting like an ambassador for Christ. we're going to be acting like we're mad. And even if we have a right to be mad, we still have an obligation to forgive. We still have that obligation because it was a divine gift to us, and we're supposed to give that gift to every person. Every person deserves to be forgiven, not because of who they are, but because of who we are.
Right.
I did a series a couple of years ago called Understanding the Love Walk, where someone had asked a question, you know, well, do people deserve to be forgiven? I said, yes, they do. And they said, but what if they did this or did that? I said, no. It's not because of what they did that they deserve to be forgiven. It's because of who you say you are. If you are a representative of Christ, then we walk in love and forgiveness, and that person has the right to expect that the Christian will forgive them.
And when we look at it from, just think about this, we, mankind, was should have been judged and gone to hell.
Right.
But because of Jesus, he took our sin. He took our punishment that we deserved and extended what? How God so loved the world, he extended love and mercy to us when we didn't deserve it. So that's what he's saying. Extend the same kind of love that Jesus extended. To who? To us.
Right.
To the world. So when somebody does something wrong and you don't like it, I'm sure Jesus didn't like what was done, but out of love and compassion, he sent Jesus to this earth to do what? Redeem mankind. And so the same way, when we see things, it doesn't mean that we ignore it. We confront it. We speak to it in the name of Jesus. We've been given authority here in this earth to do what? Confront evil. Speak to it. Speak to the one that's influencing those that aren't acting right and doing right. And we pray that it be exposed, that evil would be exposed. There is a place for protesting. There is a place for us to confront things in the natural. But we also have been given authority. We've been given the power of God to operate in the love of God when we don't want to. But that love, when it's released, is going to change things. It's going to cause not only for the world, when we operate in love, it says that the world will see that we're the body of Christ, the disciples of God.
And don't make the mistake, because I can hear the thoughts. You're thinking, okay, how can I protest and forgive?
Yeah.
Well, think about growing up. You know, think those of you, your parents told you to do something a certain way, and you didn't do it. Did your parents protest? Sometimes they protested to the point where you might have gotten disciplined. But guess what? They loved you, didn't they? They didn't throw their love for you out the window just because you did something wrong. And we want to operate similarly.
Right.
Just
right.
Because someone does something wrong, you can protest. You say, this is wrong, and this is what you have to do to make it right, but you still forgive them. You still operate and you still walk in love, again, because of who you say you are in Christ.
Now we're going to look at because I just see we're kind of winding down here.
Yeah.
But we just have two scriptures, two sections of scripture that we wanted to look at in the Passion Translation, Philippians chapter 2 and the first three verses.
Yes.
In Philippians. A wonderful scripture here. It says, look at how much encouragement you've found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with His comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt His tender affection and mercy. Verse 2, so I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together in one harmonious purpose, and you will be, and you will fill my love with unbounded joy. Verse 3, be free from pride-filled opinions. See, we're all going to have opinions. He just said, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm. What are these pride-filled opinions going to do? It says it's only going to harm your cherished unity. And this is what we were touching on. Pastor Greg was touching on it last Wednesday. Division creates limitations. So when we become divided, when we become fractured, we're limited in what we can accomplish. And this is what this is really saying here. Don't allow, it says, they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves.
The number one tactic of predators is to divide and conquer. Because we're stronger together than we are by ourselves. Right. And so we need to understand that the purpose of the enemy is to come in, cause confusion, cause division, because now we become limited because of the division. When there's no division, we remain strong and we remain limitless.
I just want to share something before we read this scripture as we kind of end this evening. The Amplified Classic of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 13, verses 4 through 8.
Chapter 3 is probably good too.
Yeah, that's probably good too. But just something the Holy Spirit reminded me as we were sitting here talking, he just shared this with me in my heart, that when you want an increase of fruit or of a harvest in a particular area, what do you have to do? If you want a harvest in love, you want a harvest of unity, what do you have to do? You've got to sow more seed, and you've got to water it. And so if we want to have a greater harvest of unity in the body of Christ, if we want a greater harvest of love, we're going to have to teach on it. Doesn't mean that you may see it all. We all don't see it all. That's what it says. Put aside all of your pride-filled opinions and all of the things that you think you know, and just begin to say, you know what? I don't know it all, and maybe I don't even see it all. But do what? Be willing to have the seed of God's word planted in your heart and begin to do what? Like we're saying here, I purpose every day to read when I wake up in the morning and when before I go to bed at night, read 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter. And I do that. I've been doing that for over a year, year and a half. And it's beginning to do what? It's beginning to change my heart in certain areas where you know, you just didn't see something a certain way. God is beginning to do what? Soften your heart. Soften you to do what? Walk in a greater measure of the God kind of love. How does that come about? If you want a different harvest, you know, this is the way it is, like a farmer. If you want corn, you don't plant tomatoes. So if you want a greater harvest in your life of the God kind of love, you're going to have to feed on these kinds of messages on the love of God, feed upon the word of God, and you'll get a different harvest.
It's interesting you should say that, because I was thinking about this I get motivational quotes that come to my phone, and some I share with some different people. But this one, it was a flower, it was a plant, it had a flower in there, and had someone that was digging around the plant. And it said, if the plant's not doing well, you don't throw the plant away, you change its environment. Right. And I was thinking about that as Pastor Ed was sharing. if you know, if you already know that you don't have it together in the love area, don't stay where you are. Change your environment.
Yeah, it's like, to me, it's like this. You may have it together in the area of healing in your life, but maybe in the area of finances, you're not doing as well. So maybe you haven't seen all of the light in that. But again, what does the scripture say in Joshua 1:8? We're to do what? Meditate in his word day and night and observe to do. So that as you do that, you'll make your way prosperous or successful in life. So God wants us to do what? Back to John 10:10. He wants us to do what? He came that we do what? Live an abundant, overcoming life. So if we want to have a better revelation in the area of sowing and reaping and finances and how I'm sowing and I'm reaping and I'm confessing and I'm not talking negative. See, these are the things that God spoke to me, and as a young man, he said, when he began to reveal to me, he spoke to me when I was young and said, if you will work the word, this is what he said to me, if you will work the word in the area of your life, in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, what does that mean? That means to me, he revealed to me, he said, just like you're doing it in the area of healing where you've gotten success and harvest, he said, do the same thing in the area of finances and you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, guess what? That same principle is the same in the area of unity and the love of God. If we want a greater harvest, if we want greater revelation in this area, we are going to have to feed upon it and speak. What does the scripture say in Proverbs 18? Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So what does that mean? That means I can keep talking negative about a certain area, and what? I'm going to reap the fruit of that. So if I want a different harvest, if I want a different attitude about something, if I want God's attitude, I'm going to have to sow and water different seed. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13 as we close.
I'm telling you, folks, if you get a hold of this scripture, it will change your life. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Listen to this carefully. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Amen goes right there.
Amen goes right there. Praise God.
But one thing I want to highlight, because too many times we miss it because we say we get tired of this. I can't stand this anymore. If you love, it said love never fades out. Love, you'll endure everything without weakening because love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. So it is impossible to fall out of love. It's impossible because love never comes to an end. So we can be patient. We can love. We can stay in unity because we have the love of God in us. And it's working. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
It's working.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, we thank you again for letting us into your homes. And, you know, one of the things that the scripture talks about, that how do we know that we're born of God? Because we love the brethren. So we need to make sure that if we want to have the God kind of love or God's love, then we need to have his seed, or we need to be born again. And of course, the scripture says that in order to be born again, we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. And we have to believe that in our heart and, as the scripture says, confess it with our mouth. So let's say this simple prayer if you're watching and you've never done that. Maybe that's new to you. But the love of God, you know, as we were sharing, you know, just being here in this ministry, and I'm sure it's not foreign to this ministry, but people that we've known from different backgrounds, the hatred that's been in their heart. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, people that we know here in the ministry that have come from various backgrounds and, you know, have learned to hate Christians. You know, sometimes you say, well, some people just hate, you know, a different race of people. Maybe it's black people or Spanish people or white people, whatever it is, right? But then there are people in different countries from different religions, Muslims, they're what? They're taught to hate Christians. And what happens when the love of God comes into their heart and their hearts are changed? Then they have what? Love one for another. They have love for the brethren because now they're part of the brethren. So so light came into darkness, a darkened heart. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, we come to you this evening, or I come to you this evening, and I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to this earth to die for my sins. You sent him here in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And so I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. And I believe that he took my sins to hell. And I believe that after sin was paid for and justice was paid for, and that he was released from hell and raised from the dead. And I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Christ, and I believe he was raised, and I was raised with him. And I am now, and I confess with my mouth that I am now born again, saved, washed with the blood of Jesus. And I believe that I'm saved in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you said that simple prayer, get in contact with us. Let us know, you know, that you've made that simple profession of faith. You asked Jesus into your heart. Email us, let us know, or mail us, or call us by phone and let us know. And we'll send you out some information that will let you know who you are in Christ.